Debbie saw me yesterday morning and said, I looked better. I asked her what that meant. She said, you're not quite as scary. So it's a little bit hard to imagine what you have to look at in terms of looking at a scary face, but it's not quite as bad as it was. That's the only thing I can tell you. The psalm this morning is Psalm 48. And it's a psalm that rightly comes to us at the end of an amazingly difficult week. We look at the world, we look at the weather, we look at sometimes our families. We just look at everything that feels like at one point or another it's imploding, it's falling apart. And it's good then to turn our eyes to the Word, to God's hope, and this is God's hope. It's God's hope that basically says, I want you to praise. In the midst of everything going wrong, praise. Praise. Let's stand, and I want to read Psalm 48. And if you prepared by reading Psalm 51, the preparation is lost. That'll come next week. I did change things around. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of the whole earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great King. Within her citadels, God has made Himself known as a fortress. For behold, the kings assembled. They came on together. And as soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were put in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took hold of them. Anguish as of a woman in labor. By the east wind you shattered the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. Selah. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple, as your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Number her towers. Consider well her ramparts. Go through her citadels, that you might tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us forever. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we hear your word. Cause this word now to fall deeply upon our hearts. For when we look out, we see struggles, pain. Allow us now to look to you, that we might stand with your people from all time and look at the high points, the citadels, the ramparts of your glory, and that we might know our God reigns forever. So come, Father, be with us, speak to us, walk with us even now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think there was a hurricane this week. If you're like me, you were watching, at least at some point, what was happening. And at some point, at several points actually, I remember the newscasting talking about the eye wall. And even before the hurricane had hit, the cameras were sort of panning, this is where it's going to hit. We don't know what it's going to look like in 24 hours from now. And I have seen a few before and after pictures of some of the same place. And the devastation that happened in just a few hours was amazing. That eye wall, that eye, that the news media continued to show on the screen, if you're watching it, that little whirling, whatever it is, looks like a blade that whirls around, representing the eye, the center of the force or of the power of all of that wind. And this psalm begins with an understanding of the eye, the center, which is praise. Now, there's a juxtaposition, something that you're going to say, wait a minute. On the one hand, we're talking about hurricane that brings destruction. On the other hand, we're talking about the eye of God's power. Is that destructive? Is it peaceful? What is it that we look to when we look to the presence of God, the greatness of His power? It's praise. It's praise. I was impressed as I looked and watched the hurricane on several things. First was, long before it came, everybody was said, get away. Everybody was told, this is going to be the worst it's been. And then we kept hearing from people who said, I've been there, done that. I've been through a lot of these things before. I don't think I need to get away. I'll just stay put. And I don't know, you know, how you felt, but I sort of had this sinking feeling of don't wait for it. Don't wait to find out how bad it really is when you're being told it's the worst that's going to happen. But there was a lot of wait. And then we looked at the destruction. People's homes. People coming up and saying, well, I had water in my basement. Yeah, well, I don't have a basement anymore. I don't have a house. It floated away. I came out to look for my boat. My boat's not here. Somebody's 26-foot yacht just disappeared, floated out to sea. Everything, every pleasure of life, every need of life, every presence of life, gone. So great was the power of destruction. In the midst of that, we need to recognize that God's power was only in a small, tiny way displayed in that hurricane. God's constraining power, His healing power, His presence is all in God's amazing power that swirls around our lives. And we do well to see it. We do well to recognize that in my praise, it gives my life focus. That's the whole point of the eye of a hurricane. It's the focus of the hurricane. All of these winds, all of these waves, chaotic, but there's a focus to it. My life gets focus when I begin to look at not random things, but at God's presence that is taking these many things that feel random to me, that sometimes feel like I'm blowing around in them, and recognizing, no, God is my focus. God is my center. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain, beautiful, the joy of the whole earth. Think about it. Think about God's glory, God's greatness. We are the city, even as our children looked at the city. You're the city. And they stand on God's promises, and they look out. And they look out in the midst of the turbulence of their lives, and what do they see? They see you. The presence of God. You may say, I don't exactly feel like I'm able to resist 185-mile-hour wind. No, you won't resist it, not alone. God gives us a city set on a hill, and you are the city because you are the place that God dwells. And God will draw others, not because we are strong, but because we look and our lives are centered on the power and the strength of God. Within her citadels, God is making himself known. It's an amazing reality. God makes himself known to a world that is broken by people like you and me. And you say, wait a minute, I'm feeling the wind force. I'm feeling the force of the gale. You don't feel it? No, we feel it. Our families feel it. Our children, our grandchildren, we feel it in our marriages. We feel the gale storm around us. In that, God says, you, the ones that I will work in, will stabilize, will keep, you are the presence of my force, the I. There's a word here that is translated Mount Zion. It's also translated Zaphon. It's another mountain, actually, in the far north. We often think of Mount Zion as the place where the temple was. Well, this particular Mount Zion was actually a mountain in the far northern part of Israel. And so when the psalmist is thinking about God's presence, his mind goes to the farthest north part, the farthest place away. And that's what he's asking us to do. Think of the farthest thing you can imagine. Now, the telescope Webb telescope has given to us a new meaning of what the farthest thing away is that we can see. It's opened it up. That's now the North Star. So think of that's what the psalmist is saying. He couldn't see that far away. But he could say, the thing that I know that's the farthest away, that even there is where the presence of God is. My God, your God, that allows us to see the power of a hurricane, that allows us to see the power of struggle in our own lives, is the God that keeps the stars in the sky. Fix your eye on that northern part. That's what God says. And in him is joy and protection. Within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress. It's not a mistake, and you know, that we are talking with the children about God's fortress. Yes, we built a fortress last week, and we talked about our fortress, about being in Christ in that fortress. And we stood on the fortress today to see where is it that God is at work. God is giving his grace to you, to each other. We pray for each other. It sometimes feels like still the enemy is winning. When I go on in the psalm, I read it differently. And that's what I have to read into my heart and into my soul. For behold, the kings assembled. They came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. Now, you know, you could think throughout Scripture of the many times that this has happened. There was Pharaoh, remember? Pharaoh says, I'm going to go after those Israelites. And in a moment, the walls of the sea collapsed down over top of his enemies, of the enemies of Israel, and they perished. God's people came to a city that was impenetrable. God said, just march around it and sing praise. So they marched around Jericho. What did they do? They blew on their horns. That's it. And God caused the walls to fall. Gideon said, listen, I'm not enough. God said, you're too many. Take your men out. Let them drink to the brook. Gideon comes back to the battle. There's this massive array of an army in front of him. He said, I can do nothing. And in essence, he was very right. God said, in darkness there will be light. So take your torches and put them in jars. Blow the trumpet and see what God does. It's the same thing the psalmist has said. The enemy is assembled. And all at once, they're stunned. They can't do anything because God is in her midst. It was Elijah. His servant comes in and says, Elijah, Master, haven't you seen the Assyrians that are out there? Yeah, really? Have you seen the army assembled against them? No. Well, go out and check it out again. And there was the army of the Lord that simply made the Assyrian army, as great as it was, just melt away in fear. That's the psalmist. That's what he's speaking of. That's what we see. For behold, the kings assembled. They came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took a hold of them there. Anguish. By the east wind, you shattered the ships of Tarshish. As we've heard, as we've seen, in the city of the Lord of hosts, the city of our God. That's you. You may be like today, you may feel like you're Gideon. You may feel like the children of Israel trying to walk around a wall, a fortress that's impenetrable. You may feel like you're being chased. God says, I simply want you to look at me. Cast your care upon me. I will care for you. I will walk with you. I will be your victory. And so it's not just the eye of praise, the center of praise that centers our life, but praise defeats the enemy. Our praise defeats him. We give praise to God because he is the one that will save, not me. He is the one that will walk before me. I'm lost. He will find me. Praise defeats the enemy. God's victory through praise establishes the city. It establishes you as the people of God. It's our praise, not our enemy, that establishes us as the people of God. We've got this part of our theology off and wrong. We try to create our identity as if the whole world is against us. And if you believe this, and if you believe this, and if you believe this, if you do this, you do this, somehow you are then the people of God. The only thing I see is that God says, praise me for who I am. That's our identity, and that's what the world sees. In difficulty, in pain, in problems, God's people give praise. And he is the victor. The last part of the psalm is this amazing piece. What, at the end of your life, do you hope for? All of the toys that we buy, all of the treasures that we lay up that we hope will last us to the end. I'm the executor of my mother's estate and will, and I, you know, as she turns 100 in another month or so, I'm thinking, Lord, how have I managed to pay these bills all these years? Every year, every month, the bills come and they come and they come. It seems like there's never enough. But there's always enough. That's what God does. He provides as we need. So we praise. And the praise is what lasts. It's not what we saved up that's going to last. What lasts is in our children and our children's children and our children's children's children. And we all have them. We all have those that stand on God's pew and look out and are asking, will you walk with me? Will you pray for me? Will you comfort me? Will you care for me? We all have those children. The children of this congregation were brought to us. And we were asked if we would walk before them. Today, two of them, only two of them, but we got a lot more children, stood and looked out over the high points, those hands, those people that will walk with them. That's what lasts. forever and ever. And God says, yes, I know there are pains that you experience, but there is something more. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple, as your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. I don't know if that phrase missed you or not. Your right hand. Who's the right hand? Who's at the right hand? Is it not Jesus who sits at the right hand of the Father? He is our righteousness. This psalmist was looking into eternity and recognizing the Messiah was the one who is my righteousness. He is at that right hand of God. There is no power, there is no fear that can overcome the righteousness of Christ. It is the presence of Jesus that wraps us, that takes our children. And I don't know when my children or my grandchildren, any more than your children, your grandchildren, your sisters, your brothers, will bend their knee and serve a risen Jesus. But I know that my Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And I know that at the end of my life, it's not going to be what's in my bank account. It's not going to be the boat that I have in somebody else's dock that the hurricane takes away. It's not going to be the bigness and the beauty of my house or of my whatever it is I think I've stored up. It's going to be Jesus. It's going to be Jesus who says, you don't have any righteousness? I give you mine. You have no strength? I give you mine. You have sorrow? I give you my comfort. You have pain? Let me take it. You're not sure where to go? Walk with me. It's my Jesus. He stands. He sits at the right hand of the Father. So walk about Zion. Go around her. Number her towers. I didn't ask the kids to do that this morning, did I? I didn't ask them to count you, to count those hands, to count those towers. But God says, I want you to do it. Count them. Name them. Name the people that walk with you. Name the presence of God in your life. Name the things that God has done. Name the hopes that you do have. Name what God has accomplished. Name them. Count them. Consider them that you might tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever. Father, you are our God. We come to you. We come to you because there is no other. We lift our hands to you in praise. Even when we can't see where we're going. Even when our hearts are broken. Even when the enemy that is inside of us roars and calls us failure. Father, we come to you. Lord Jesus, we come to you. Give to us your righteousness. Not because we deserve it, but because we need it. Turn our lives, we pray. They've been turned upside down. Stay the forces of evil that would move us in the wrong direction. Keep us, Lord Jesus, in the palm of your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to sing, and I want, as you